The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
We're being told now to stop using passwords online altogether. So it's time to embrace something called passkeys or risk getting hacked. This warning is coming from the UK's National Cybersecurity Centre. They say we're all too vulnerable online. So here to explain it is our tech correspondent, Jessica Kelly. Hello, Jessica.
Good morning.
So passkeys, I think people will be familiar with them because some websites now ask you to set them up. But what are they?
Essentially, Claire, what it does is it adds an extra line of defence without adding extra strain to logging in. So as you correctly said there, we're being asked to move away from passwords because now with the invention of AI and other technological tools, sophisticated hacking bodies can just put in an account and an automated program can run to try and infiltrate your password. So the password isn't enough. Then we were told to go down the road of multi-factor authentication, which we'll all be familiar with. This is where you try to log into a website, you get texted a code, you put the code in, and then you get access. However, the very clever and sophisticated hacking gangs have found ways around that. That's why if you know anyone whose WhatsApp account was infiltrated, their Instagram and so on, that's how that was done, because of human error. So passkeys remove all of this, and it relies on you being exactly who you say you are. So when you go to a website, rather than putting in a password, it'll use your biometric data. So for example, I'm speaking to you now from my Google Pixel 10 phone. On my Google Pixel 10 phone, when I try to log into a website, it'll either scan my face, or if I'm looking absolutely shocking that day and the phone doesn't recognize me, it'll ask me for my fingerprint. And that will then verify that it is 100% me. It's nothing that scammers or criminals can get hold of. Therefore, they can let me into my account.
Okay. And the whole logic behind this advice from the National Cybersecurity Centre in the UK is because our passwords are really vulnerable, because generally they're really bad, aren't they?
They're really bad. And again, you know, it's funny when I think back over the last number of years, I spent years of my life talking about passwords, and it was initially don't just have password 123. But then we had to say don't do password 1234 exclamation point, because again, the websites were trying to prompt us to create sophisticated passwords, but it just wasn't working. But the reason why this advice is so important is because if you think about it, how much of your life, of your data related to your life, is stored within online accounts? I got an email there from my bank the other morning telling me that they're stopping all communication via the post. Everything is going to be email based now. So by having access to the content on my device, whether it's my phone or my laptop, you're getting my banking information, you're getting my information from revenue, you're getting my work emails, all kinds of information that is incredibly valuable. And so I think it makes sense that we look to more sophisticated workarounds that can't be infiltrated. There is no way for a hacker to get access to your fingerprint or your exact makeup of your face. So this is, it's a positive move. But what I would say, Claire, is not everybody is going to be able to avail of it right now, because it does depend on the device that you're using. So if you have an older phone, or perhaps a phone that is perfectly fine and functional for day to day, but doesn't have some of the latest features, the passkeys functionality with the biometric validation may not be available to you. So you can put a pin in place, but they're really saying the gold standard is that biometric scan.
And also the websites that you're using, that you're logging onto, they have to be signed up to passkey as well, do they?
Exactly it, yeah. So what you'll see over the next wee while, like we're seeing websites like eBay, and to be fair to Google and Microsoft, and indeed Samsung, they have been great at prompting users when they visit a website and their password can be stored with a passkey. What I would ask people to do is when that prompt comes up, accept it, particularly if it's anything that credit card, banking, personal information is going into, just to give you that peace of mind. And the brilliant thing about this is the facial scan or the fingerprint scan, it takes milliseconds to do. You know, the other day I got locked out of my work laptop because, again, I looked shocking and the camera didn't recognize me and I couldn't remember my PIN. So I had to do the big workaround to try and figure it out. But that's once out of, say, 100 times that I've tried to log in. So the PIN is always your backup. It's important that you remember the PIN in case the biometrics fail for whatever reason. But on the majority of instances, you will just sail through and be more secure, which is ultimately the dream for us, the consumer.
Now, the other story I wanted to talk to you about is a BBC story about our bad habits in relation to charging cables. If you can find your charging cables when you need them, which seems to be a problem in our house. But does it matter how you store them and how you handle them, Jess?
It does. And it causes me physical pain when I see some of our beloved colleagues taking their charger cables out of their bags and they're wrapped up like a Christmas bow. That is not the thing to do. If you think about what's inside the cable, what we see is either the plastic cover or maybe it's a material cover on the outside. But inside is very intricate wiring that is vital then to when you plug in your phone to be able to get you the charge that you need and you require. So when you wrap them up, you are bending little wires that are thinner than your hair. And that can cause damage. Not only can it break the charger, but it also then could be a fire hazard as well. And it's the least exciting thing in the world to think about how you store and how you fold and how you roll up your cables. But if you've ever watched a movie, like if you think of Almost Famous, that film from many moons ago where you got to see the roadies wrapping up after a gig. And what they do is they do the over under. Again, like kind of like a garden hose. If you can roll it in a perfect circle, not too tight, don't pull the end bit of the cable through and wrap it up into a neat little bow. All of that is damaging the cable. And what it's doing, not only is it the fire hazard, but you're also cutting down the lifespan of the cable as well. Mm-hmm. And while we're on the topic of cables, I would urge everybody to please not buy the very, very, very cheap cables because, oh, sure, it's £3 for a cable. That's great value. Not all of the cables that are on sale are fit for purpose, are fit for your device. They can overheat, they can tangle. If you are one of the people, and I know at least one of them in that building right now that you're in, who has a bit of sellotape holding the cable together, chuck it out.
Get rid of it.
All of that is deeply unsafe and it is not good.
And if you're using your phone and it's charged, it's plugged into the charger and you're sort of bending it and pulling it and stretching it, that means you're sort of, it's like, think of it like a paperclip, isn't that right? That you're bending it time and again and it is going to snap.
It is. And again, you know, we think, oh, I have to stand a certain way or I have to hold the cable a certain way to make sure it's charging. That's all really not good. Like, again, the analogy of the paperclip is a really good one. Like, this is something that only top nerds like me have done. But if you ever look inside one of these cables, as I say, they're made up of teeny tiny wires, finer than a piece of hair. Mm-hmm. And every single one of them is there for a reason. So when you're twisting and turning or if you're stretching to, you know, grab the kettle from the counter while the phone is plugged in or anything like that, you are doing damage to the cable, which is ultimately then not going to charge your phone properly, going to damage your battery, going to push you to get a better phone. So it's just, it's something that takes a matter of seconds. What I would recommend people do, and again, it's something that's available on maybe phones that are 8 years or newer in terms of age, get a wireless charger. I have one on my desk in Newstalk. I have one by my bedside locker. It means then that the cable is fixed in place. There's a little disc on which my phone sits. So the only thing that ever moves is my phone. You can get fast charging ones. So again, if you are
going to ask you, is it fast enough?
Yeah, no, it is. It's fast. Again, you can get ones that are slow charging ones, but I bought two fast charging ones. So again, I can get, say, 30% extra on my phone in 15 minutes, which is phenomenal. And it just means then I'm not having to mess around with any of the cables. I would also say, I know a lot of parents who, if their kids have tablets and sometimes they're sitting on the sofa watching the tablet with the cable stretched across, again, that's not a great thing to do, because you are just ebbing away at something that, as I said, could be a fire hazard, but can also damage your tablet.
Okay.
And these things just end up in the landfill then.
Jess, going back to the passkeys conversation we just had. So some listener reaction to this: fingerprints, facial recognition, they're the thin end of the wedge, giving biometrics to private companies for a bit of convenience. Not a chance I'll do this. I'm going to stick with a password. And then another one concerned about security. What will happen if a phone gets stolen along with a wallet or a purse? There'll be a photograph on the driving license, which could then be used for the biometric passkey. And hey presto, they're in.
So just a few points on this. So in terms of, you're not giving your biometric data to a website when you're using a passkey. The passkey is stored locally on your phone, and that's part of the beauty of this. So at the minute, if you have a website that you go to regularly and you have an account on that website, and you create a specific website or a specific password for that website, your password is then stored on one of their servers, right? So that information is stored at the business. The biometric data lives and is only stored on your phone. And I think this is a bit of a misconception that people have when it comes to biometric data. What happens on your phone stays on your phone. It's similar to the conversation that we've been having in relation to the digital age verification when it comes to social media. Mm-hmm. This information is not leaving your phone. In relation to what happens if and when a device gets nicked, it is a pain in the face. There is no politer term for it. It is an absolute dose. But again, to be fair to the tech companies like Apple, like Google, like Samsung, you can now log in to iCloud.com, or you can literally, if you're an Android user, you can go to Google and type in, where is my phone? If it's lost or stolen, you can mark it as lost and stolen. You can remotely lock it so that it is essentially bricked and it is no good to a phone thief in any way, shape or form. You can then, when you get a new phone, move all your data across and completely remotely wipe the other phone. So in terms of security, it is the most sound of the options that we have.
Okay.
And again, it's not the perfect solution, but it is far better than what we have right now.
Jess, thank you so much. Jess Kelly there, tech correspondent.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.